My dearly beloved in Christ, today we celebrate a feast day in honor of the privilege given to our Blessed Mother of being the Mother of God. And this fact that Mary deserves the title of Mother of God has always been held by the Church. We find it in Scripture. In the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Well, the word Emmanuel means God with us. So that this woman, this virgin, who was also a mother, was the mother of God, would be the mother of God. And then we have the words of Elizabeth at the visitation, when she said to our Blessed Mother, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So, professing her faith that our Blessed Mother's child, yet to be born, was divine, was God, the mother of my Lord. But despite the fact that this truth has always been believed, there was a bishop who denied it, who doubted it. And this was in the 5th century, the early 5th century. His name was Nestorius. Nestorius was bishop, I believe, of Constantinople, and he was opposed by Cyril, Saint Cyril, the bishop of Alexandria. And there was such a controversy about this that a council was called, and it met in the city of Ephesus in 431. It was the third general council of the Church. And this council condemned Nestorius and his teaching, because Nestorius said that Mary was the mother of Christ, the human person, but not the mother of the divinity. So there was a double heresy. He denied Mary's divine maternity, but he also denied the unity of person in Christ. The Catholic doctrine is that Christ is only one person with two natures, the nature of God and of man, but only one person. And Mary was the mother of that one person who was a divine person. Therefore, she was the mother of God. And again, Nestorius was condemned at the council, and it's interesting to read the history of this council because it was held in the city of Ephesus. Well, Ephesus was the city where, according to tradition, Saint John the Evangelist went to live. And because he was given by our Lord the care of our Blessed Mother, he took Our Lady with him. And so that she lived in the city of Ephesus at least for some time in Asia Minor. And the people, the faithful in Ephesus, were so overjoyed when the council condemned Nestorius and his false teaching and upheld the title of the divine motherhood. They so rejoiced that they went and they met the fathers of the council and escorted them to their residence with burning torches and were singing throughout the evening on the day when this final decision was made, proclaiming the divine maternity. Now, according to theologians, our Blessed Mother was given 9 great privileges. But the greatest of them is the divine maternity, because it is the source of all the other privileges of Our Lady. It was the reason why she was conceived without stain of sin, or why she was given so many wonderful graces. It is because she was fitted to be the Mother of God, and thus was filled with unique graces and blessings. So the divine maternity stands apart from the other privileges as the source of all the others. The other 8 privileges are divided into the positive and the negative. Now, we don't want to, and this is just the way theologians classify them, but we don't want to think of the negative privileges of Our Lady as being something bad. Rather, it means a freedom from something bad. And that's why they are called the negative privileges. And the 4 negative privileges of Our Lady are freedom from original sin, her Immaculate Conception, freedom from any violation of her virginal integrity and purity, perpetual virginity, freedom from all personal sin, actual sin, absolute sinlessness, and finally, freedom from the corruption of the grave, Our Lady's Assumption into Heaven. So those would be called the four negative privileges. And then we have the four positive privileges of our Blessed Mother, her perfect holiness, or we would say fullness of grace, the office of mediatrix of all graces, the spiritual motherhood of all men, and the title of Queen of Angels and of Men. So these are all the wonderful privileges given to our Blessed Mother because of her destiny to be the Mother of God. But the divine maternity, again, is the source of all the others. So we rejoice today and call to mind that privilege. And we should call to mind the fact that we honor Our Lady under this title. We call to mind this privilege every time we say the Hail Mary. In fact, it was following the council at Ephesus in 431 that Holy Mother Church added the final words of the Hail Mary. So we begin with the words of the angel, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Then we add the words of Elizabeth, who said to Our Lady her greeting, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And then Holy Mother Church, as I said, added the remaining words, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Is it not a wonderful thing to think that when we say the rosary and we recite 50 Hail Marys, 53 for a five-decade rosary with the three at the beginning, or if we recite all 15 decades, all of the times that we're honoring our Blessed Mother by saying, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us." How Our Lady delights to hear our Hail Marys, in which we honor her, we praise her as the Mother of God. And today we should offer Our Lady a gift on her feast day. And perhaps the best gift we can give her is the promise, the pledge, the resolve to do all we can to avoid sin. Because if we wish to please Our Lady, we can do so by becoming like her. And Our Lady was free from all sin, both original sin and all actual sin. And you know, even though the divine maternity is the greatest of the privileges of Our Lady and the source of all the others, theologians tell us that if she had to choose, she would be willing to forego the privilege of being the Mother of God as long as she could still have the privilege of being conceived immaculate and being always without sin. That is dearest to her. Because she has such a horror of sin, she understands the gravity of sin, the evil of sin, the heinousness of sin, how opposed to God is sin. And so she treasures all of her privileges, but especially those dealing with her sinlessness, her immaculate conception, her purity. And she wants us to strive to imitate her, to avoid the occasions of sin, and to preserve that precious life of grace in our souls. So let us honor Our Lady today and ask her intercession to help us to be worthy of being able to call her our mother. There's that one hymn to Our Lady in which the words are, "The angels can call her queen, but we can call her mother." She is the Mother of God, but she is also our spiritual mother. Let us try to become worthy children of so wonderful a mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.